It is strange, the man said. People get such a small amount of time. So many I've known say it. As soon as you feel you're getting a handle on things, the day is done, the night falls, the lights go out. Lift looked at him. Yep, still creepy. I guess when you're old and stuff, you get to thinking about being dead. Kind of like when a fellow's got a piss, he starts thinking about finding a convenient alleyway. Heroes of presents The Storm Pod, a Stormlight Archive podcast. First novella, Edge Dancer. This is just a quick spoiler warning for chapters 10, 11, and 12 of Edge Dancer. If you haven't caught up on your reading or you've picked the wrong episode, please make sure that you go back and do those things because we wouldn't want to be spoiled. This is about the midway point of the book. We are very excited to get through this. What a fun novella. I really hope that you are enjoying this series that we're doing, and I really hope that you enjoy the episode. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sean Q, and I asked him what body part he thought he was, and he said he didn't nose. It's Jack! What's up?
I didn't nose.
I didn't know. I don't nose.
I'm not sure. I can think of one body part that I wouldn't be, and that's the whatever the little bit of skin that hangs off the elbow. I don't think I would be that one.
You don't want to be, or you don't think you are?
I don't think I am.
Because that piece
and I'm
of
not
skin,
sure
I'm touching mine right now,
be.
By the way. I'm touching my little piece of skin off my elbow. Yeah, it's really fucking
gross.
You
couldn't help it, could you?
But I couldn't help it. As soon as you said it, I'm like, oh, yeah,
right,
that piece
you go,
of skin.
Oh, I got to touch that.
It's kind of soft, to be honest. It's not as gross. Now that I'm touching it, it's not as gross as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I think it does have a name. It does have a name. I can't remember what it is, but I don't know what a strange question from this creepy man.
Right.
Asking this little girl, oh yeah, by the way, what body part would you be?
I'm thoroughly convinced that it's wit.
Me too.
I think
Black Shequa is the dead giveaway, and the way he's speaking in cryptic.
He might look like an old man, but like, I mean, we know he can change his like look from like black hair to white hair, and like,
yeah.
I think this is wit.
Gray mustache.
Like, there's no, absolutely no doubt in my mind that this is wit. And if it ends up not being wit, then whatever.
Oh.
But I'm pretty sure it is.
I'm right with you. I'm right with you. I think it's wit too.
Yeah. This is the best part for me right now, is that I get to say things like I think that. This is happening in this book, and I don't actually know what is happening in the book yet. Like, I really like being able to just sit here and talk to you and be like, I think that this is wit, and not actually know, like, not to have to pretend to know it's wit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's him or not.
Right.
And I love it. I love the mystery. It's great.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's great to be a first-timer.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump into this. We're going to cover chapters 10, 11, and 12 today.
Yeah.
Of Edge Dancer. We begin when Windle arrives at the orphanage. Lift finally figured out why it had been set up next to this open space, this orphanage, where the caretaker, the Stump, as she'd been called, had opened the doors and had let the children out. There was an amphitheater shaped like half a moon, and this is where the children played, and it's where they seemed to love it.
Yeah.
They were laughing, they were giggling, there were laughter spren, they're playing games with painted pebbles. The laughter spren for the spren heads, shaped like little silvery fish zipping around. Most, as she had been able to guess, were the kind that were different in the head, or they were missing an arm or leg, things like that.
So she this had, is,
she's describing the orphans.
Right.
We kind of already got a little bit of that from the other.
But now
boy
that she sees a whole group of them together, she's like, I was right. This is the kind of kids they are. Yeah.
Right.
I really believe that, you know, it's the more we go through this book, there are more forgotten people to remember. And right. like, and you know, yeah. we know this from our society, you know,
sure.
disabled, you know, people with mental disability, they often get forgotten in our society.
Yeah. Marginalized. Yep. Tucked away.
And as soon as I read this, that all these kids were like this and that she was kind of like being part of this orphanage, I thought, this is another thing of the forgotten. It's not just the urchins and the poor people, but it's
right.
these specific type of people who are also being forgotten. And I just,
right.
this, I know that it's kind of part of the book because it's her ideals, but man, am yeah. I ever really enjoying this. It's yeah. so awesome.
Well, it's Sanderson once again masterfully, you know, getting us all to think about these issues while telling us this story.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. Lift idled near the wide alleyway mouth, near where two blind girls played a game. One would drop rocks of a variety of shapes and sizes and try to guess which it was based on how it sounded when it hit the ground. There was a group of old men and women in the shikwas hanging back around the back end of the Half Moon amphitheater, chatting and watching the children play. I thought you said orphanages were miserable, Windle said. Everyone gets happy for a little while when you let them go outside, Lift says, watching the stump. The wizened old lady was scowling as she pulled a cart through the doors to the amphitheater with more clemma bread rolls. Delightful, Lift is thinking, those were only slightly better than gruel, which was only slightly better than cold socks.
Cold socks, like to eat or to wear? Cold socks.
Like, I think cold socks to eat, slightly better than cold socks, maybe to wear. But I gotta say, cold socks, when I first read it, not a bad little title. It's a quirky little title for this.
I didn't think of one when I read it,
socks.
But cold socks is really great.
It's rememberable.
Yeah.
I don't know if it encapsulates the chapter or what it means, but it's on my list.
But
it's
sometimes like you find two words that just go really well together and
cold sock.
You know what I mean?
I love it.
Yeah.
Cold sock. Well, like again, a t-shirt, cold socks.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And then just like have like socks on the side or whatever.
Cold. What the? I love it. Cold socks. The stump made sure that every child got a roll from this this cart. Really like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, despite her being angry and shouting, whatever, she made sure that everybody gets a roll.
Yeah.
But then she looks over to Lift and she says, "Your second meal of three." Second, Lift snaps. "I ain't. You got one last night. But didn't ask for it. But you ate it."
Mm-hmm.
The stump pushed the cart away. I like this.
Yeah.
This is just awesome. She's keeping tabs of Lift. Storming witch, Lift mutters. I'm wondering if it will turn out that this stump might actually be a little bit of a witch.
Oh, you think that maybe she's got some kind of...
I don't know. Power. I don't know. Probably not, but...
I think her role in all this is what the old man with the black shikwa said last time we talked to him, where you don't really fully understand the gravity of what she does. It's
right.
important. Like, she might come off as like a bitch, but she has to do that in order to be able to protect the kids she can protect. Right. And
it's how the students look at the teacher.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, Mrs. Kerboppel is really...
She's so mean.
She's so mean,
yeah.
and why
and
does
then,
she say those things?
Yeah, and then you grow up and you're like, fuck, she was a good teacher. She really taught me a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is definitely not Carol Burnett, like you said before. This is not your Carol Burnett. This is a...
No.
I don't think she's being mean to be mean. I think she's being, like, kind of strict because she has to be in this town or people will take advantage.
And I think we're going to get a little bit of that coming up here with an example that she catches with one of these orphans that Lift interacts with.
Right, right.
That's a prediction that I'm going to make. You already got one last night. I didn't ask for it, but you ate it. Storming witch, she says. Mistress, Windle says. I don't believe you when you say you left Azir because they were trying to dress you in fancy clothing and teach you to read. Is that so? She says. I really like this. Is that so? You don't believe something I said? I don't really care. Again, what I love about this interaction is it reminds me of Han Solo listening to 3PO. He doesn't care.
No, it's like, true.
Oh, yeah, 3PO, I don't care. Yeah. I don't care what you're saying right now. You liked the clothing for one thing, and when they tried to give you lessons, you seemed to enjoy the game of always being gone when they came looking. They weren't forcing you into anything. They were merely offering opportunities. The palace was not the stifling experience that you imply. Maybe not for me, she admitted. But she's thinking, but it was for Gox.
Right.
They expected all kinds of things of the new emperor. Lessons and displays. People came to watch him eat every meal. They even got to watch him sleeping. In Azir, the emperor was owned by the people, like a friendly stray axe hound that Severn... different houses fed, all claiming her as their own.
Mm-hmm.
So again, an important thing for Lyft is not to become something like that.
Yeah.
She has no aspirations to be anything remotely like that. She's like, oh, Gox is an opportunity that you can be that. Yeah. You go ahead and you be that because I don't want to have anything to do with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe, Lyft says, I just didn't want people expecting so much from me. If you get to know people too long, they'll start depending on you. Oh, and you can't bear responsibility? Of course I can't. I'm a starving street urchin. One who came here chasing down what appears to be one of the heralds themselves gone mad and accompanied by an assassin who has murdered multiple world monarchs? Yes, I believe that you must be avoiding responsibility. You're giving me lip, Voidbringer. I think so. Honestly, I don't know what that term means, but judging by your tone, I'd say that I'm probably giving you lip, and you probably deserve it.
Yeah.
I like the title, so my next title is Lip.
Or giving lip, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what she deserves. Like, yeah. I don't know, I like this little encounter.
I'm
giving you lip.
I can really feel for Lyft here, because she's like, I don't want people to have to expect much from me, and I don't want people to have to start depending on me. I kind of felt like that in my early 20s. I went to university and I got rusticated because I got sick and I couldn't finish and stuff. And then I went from like job to job in my early 20s and I felt a little bit like I couldn't be depended on. And I didn't want people to expect much from me because I was always afraid of letting people down. You know, this... you know, dad's not around my whole life. I don't really have like a role model in that sense. I'm questioning all kinds of things about myself in my early 20s because I just, you know, I grew up in a household with full of lesbians and gay men. I mean, there wasn't a full, but like that's who my mom's like, you know, friend group was, right? Like my mom's a lesbian and her friends are other lesbians and other gay men. And I'm a, you know, straight young man who doesn't really know, you know, like my identity at that point. Like who do I role model myself after? And it took me years to realize that I could role model myself after my mom. You know what I mean? And that's okay.
Yeah.
Just because I'm a man,
of course.
A straight man doesn't mean I can't role model myself after a lesbian mother. You know what I mean? Like, and that was okay.
Really identify with what Lyft is about to say on the next.
Yeah,
page,
that's why I wanted to bring it up because lot of this, like, I feel. You know, I felt the imposter syndrome stuff when I was a kid, and like I can feel when she says, you know, if you get to know people long enough, they'll start depending on you. And I was like that when I was younger. I didn't want people to depend on me because I felt like I was going to let them down. And so I feel it. Like I really feel this moment for Lyft, and that's why she's just chaos and wants to move around all the time.
Yeah,
it's one of the reasons why I had so many different groups of friends when I was younger, because I, you know, I'd get close to people and then I'd be like, okay, maybe I'm getting too close, and so let's make a new group of friends. And the fact that you and I and, you know, our friend group, you know, Jay, Phil, and Mike have been friends for 15 years now. Is amazing. Like I haven't, you know, I would have already jumped ship to a new group of friends by now. But like, so
I was going to joke and say, is that why you ghost me after we record? Like, hey, Jack, bye. See ya.
Sorry. Talk to you next Tuesday.
Yeah. Bye.
No, but I really feel for Lyft here, and
yeah,
like I can
I see
her wandering heart and why she might do it. So,
but here's what I'm going to guess in this journey of not wanting to accept responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we do take on certain tasks, responsibilities, and accomplish them, because invariably we will, then you get more comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. And then you begin to adapt. You begin to go through that change.
Right.
So it just takes time.
All that changed for me when I met Tracy, really, to be honest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She just grounded me, and, you know, I fell so in love with her that, it, you know what I mean? Like, I was willing to, this got to be a sexy podcast. Okay, last thing here before we move on is, Wendell says, one who came here chasing down what appears to be one of the heralds. So it's the second time that Wendell says heralds. Earlier in the book, he thinks that Nail might have a Spren that's watching. So one of two things here. At that time, Wendell doesn't realize that Nail is a herald, which we know because when he hears the name Nin, he's like, wait a minute, Nin, that's one of the heralds. So either that, or Wendell doesn't even realize that heralds don't have Spren. They don't. Wendell might not know how heralds get their powers, how, like, we know that they get their power from honor blades and all this stuff. Wendell, there's pieces of information missing here that we have a chance to know, but that they don't really know yet.
Even with your assuredness right there on the heralds not having Spren, and we know this, I'm always reserving a little something in my pocket, you know, just to say, maybe that could be different, or there could be an exception.
That is truth, because we haven't been told that heralds don't have Spren. We just know that they don't get they don't get their powers from connections to Spren. So those two things are different, right? So
Okay, well, Mama, sorry.
Thanks for humoring me for 5 seconds there.
I did humor you.
Sean's backstory.
Mama said, "Mama always told me to travel," Lyft says, "and go places while I'm young." And that's why you left the palace? Dunno, maybe. Utter nonsense, mistress. What is it really? Lyft, what do you want? She looked down at the half-eaten roll in her hand. Everything is changing, she says softly. And that's okay. Stuff changes. It's just that I'm not supposed to. I asked not to. She's supposed to give you what you ask. Mm-hmm. The Night Watcher? Wendell asks. Lyft nodded, feeling small and cold. Children played and laughed all around, and for some reason, that only made her feel worse. Yeah, that's a little harsh.
Yeah.
It's a little hard to take. She didn't want to change. I wonder if there's more to this story. We know that she's missing her mother.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't you want to change and either grow up, accept responsibilities? You know, why does Peter Pan want to remain the boy that never grew up?
Like, what's Lyft's psychology behind it, kind of thing? Like, why? What's the reasoning?
Why? Yeah. Mm. Is there a why, or is it just completely pure? It can't be totally just pure. I want to remain the spirit of youth, kind of like the idea behind Peter Pan. I think that this is where Lyft is more complicated.
I think so too, and I think that it might have something to do with mother. It might have something to do with I don't know. I really don't know. That's a good question. I hope that it gets answered.
Maybe she doesn't want to be part of this story, meaning Knights Radiant, meaning the return of them, Desolations.
Mm-hmm. She's only just really learning about that now. She would have made this deal with the Night Watcher years ago.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, true enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she was feeling worse hearing the children laughing because she was getting taller than she had been when she first sought out the old magic from the Night Watcher. So she's noticing that despite her asking not to change, not to grow up or anything like that, she is changing regardless.
We don't,
so now she's like,
we don't really know how this stuff with the Night Watcher works. We assume that when she asked the Night Watcher to not change, that her growing up and her actually like changing would stop. But maybe the Night Watcher can't stop things. Maybe the Night Watcher can only slow things down. So she will eventually grow up, but it's going to take longer for her to do so than someone normal. Like maybe there's a limit to the Night Watcher's power. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the Night Watcher would be certainly available during the day,
mm-hmm.
because at night she's got to watch the night.
Well, I think you're reading a little too.
So during the day, I think during the day the Night Watcher is available. You have to still make an appointment, but at nighttime, forget it. She's watching that.
Right. It's just like Void Bringers. Like they just have to make sure they pack a basket of void and just bring it where they go. Right. They have to.
Don't forget your voids.
Yeah. Oh, I left them on the kitchen counter. Can you grab those voids for me?
Thanks.
But I think that there is something here that she is still changing, maybe just at a slower rate. Or maybe the deal that she made with the Night Watcher only lasts for a little while.
Maybe up until you're seeing your third ideal.
Right. Or maybe, well, she hasn't said that yet. But that has nothing to do with Night Watch, Radiance and stuff, right? This is a separate deal. Maybe there's not anything you can do to prevent puberty. Maybe this is like a deeper thing. No matter how much you do, how much you rail against it, how much deals you make with old magic, puberty's going to hit no matter what. Change will happen no matter what. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose. I'm not sure if I'm on board with you on that one, but I'm not sure.
I think this is important.
Point, I'm not sure why it's deteriorating. I don't know why the arrangement.
Her still getting taller, I think, is important because it means that there's either a limit on the Night Watcher's abilities or there's a time limit on the Night Watcher's abilities, and that whatever deal she made with the Night Watcher, it's either like almost done or the Night Watcher's abilities can only slow things down so much. Does that make sense?
Maybe the Night Watcher is actually being threatened. Maybe their power. No, but it's another possibility that the Night Watcher's power is waning for some reason.
That's true too. Maybe she's losing hold on some of the deals she made and
possible. So maybe that might affect others that have used the old magic like Dalinar.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so maybe that's something to think about going forward into the next books with Dalinar, is that maybe the same kind of thing that's happening to Lift, where you know her power, like her deal is kind of eroding, maybe his deal will erode too. That's really interesting, actually.
She does say here, she says, everything is changing. Stuff changes.
Right.
Maybe that's the title.
Stuff changes.
Stuff changes.
Maybe.
Okay, so she's passing by, or there's a group of women passing by, bustling past, carrying baskets of yarn. There's a prim Alethi man strode in the other direction with an imperious attitude. In the alleyway mouth, the stump had deposited her cart and was disciplining a child. At the back of the amphitheater seats, the old men and women laughed together, one pouring cups of tea to pass around. They all seemed to just know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Kremlings new to scuttle, plants new to grow, everything had its place. So this was the sentiment that I thought you would also connect with, with what you were saying earlier. They all seemed to just know what to do.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was kind of getting at earlier, was that, I had felt like I hadn't had the role model to teach me how to be a man. You know, got to be 25, 26. Yeah. It's like, how do I be a man? And I realized, you know, through counseling and through, you know, being alive in the world, that you are who you are, and there is no right or wrong way to be. You just have to
be.
Which, be. I mean, maybe is one of the reasons why this series connects with me so much. Right?
The only thing I've ever known how to do was hunt food, Lift whispers. What's that, mistress? It had been hard at first, feeding herself, but over time she'd figured out the tricks, and she'd gotten good at it. Mm-hmm. So right there, there's a little example right there of personal responsibility.
Right.
So even though she doesn't want to take on any, well, she's already taking on things for herself.
For the very basic thing of feeding yourself.
Yeah.
Right. So,
but it does show that you are being resourceful.
Right. She was able to do that much.
But not many people can take a look at what they're already doing and see those accomplishments.
Right, that's true.
Some people get sort of, I guess they get sort of down about what they don't have, and if only they were able to see.
Yeah, not only was she able to figure out a way to feed herself, but she got really good at it too. She got really good at surviving and eating. Yeah.
But once you weren't hungry all the time, what did you do? How did you know? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Is okay, I'm taking care of my survival, but now what?
Right.
I don't think I connect with anything that's going on.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, really smart. It's actually really, really, really cool to think about.
Someone pokes at her arm and she turns to see that it was the kid that had scooted up beside her, a lean boy with his head shaved. He pointed at her half-eaten roll and grunted. She sighed and gave it to him, and he ate eagerly. I know you, Liv says. You're the one whose mother dropped him off the other night. Mother, he says. Mother come back when? Huh, so you can talk, Liv says. Didn't think you could after all that staring around dumbly last night. The boy blinked and looked at her. No drooling this time. Must be a good day for him. A grand accomplishment. Mother come back, he asks. Probably not, Liv says. Sorry, kid. They don't come back. What's your name? Not a bad title there, also. Right. They don't come back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mick, the boy says. He looked at her, confused, as if searching and failing to figure out who she was. We friends? Nope, Liv says. You don't... Yeah, no, what a great response. I love it. Nope. Like, no debate at all. Just, are we friends? That's a firm nope. You don't want to be my friend. My friends end up as emperors. She shivers and then leaned in. And yeah, look at that. She not only friends become emperors, she shivers at that. And she's like, people pick his nose for him. And she leans in to tell him. He looks at her blankly. Yeah, I'm serious. They pick his nose. Like, he's got this woman who does his hair, and I peeked in and I saw her sticking something up his nose, like little tweezers she used to grab his boogies or something. Being an emperor is real strange.
Okay, so she's clearly not picking his boogies. She's trimming his nose hairs. I'm thinking. Or maybe she really is picking his boogies, but...
I don't know.
It's so funny, dude.
It's funny. I love her. The nope just killed me. It's
my
probably
friends
one of my highlights.
End up as emperors. Like every time she's made a friend, they end up as emperors. Like, so funny. She's only had one. I guess she's 100% active on that. If she's only ever had one friend and it was Gox, right?
Yeah. My entourage are just all the world leaders, you know.
Yeah. So important. So
the
funny.
Stump drags over one of the kids who's been fighting and plops him on the stone, and then oddly, the stump gave him some earmuffs. He put them on and closed his eyes. The stump paused and looked toward Lift and Mick. Making plans on how to rob me? What? Lift says no. One more meal, the woman says, holding up a finger, and then she stabbed it towards Mick. And when you go, take that one. I know he's faking. Faking? Lift turns towards Mick, who blinked, dazed as if trying to follow the conversation. You're not serious. I can see through it when Erkins are feigning illness in order to get food, the stump snapped. That one's no idiot. He's pretending. And she stomps away. Mm-hmm. This little Mick wilts and looks down at his feet. I miss Mother. Yeah, Lift says. Nice, eh? Mick looked at her, frowning. We get to remember ours, Liv says, standing. That's more than most of us get. And she pats him on the shoulder. This is the little moment where I think that the stump has this kid pegged.
Yeah.
I do. What do you think? He's not drooling anymore.
A couple of things. You know, I think it's really cool that she put these earmuffs on this kid. She knows that this kid has probably like an auditory something, and so he needs to just relax and not hear anything, and then he can relax.
Not hear anything for
like,
a while.
Mm-hmm. Her ability to know that specifically about this child is more impressive than before. Like she really knows these kids and how to handle them. Even though she might be a mean old storming witch, she knows right. what to do, which is really impressive.
But she cares, right?
She cares, yeah.
Thing. She cares.
I agree. I think Mick is pretending. And here's my little prediction. I think Mick could be the other Surge Binder that we're looking for.
This little kid?
Yeah. This little kid. I don't. Probably not. I still hope it's
Get
Hauka.
Get out of here.
I hope it's Hauka or whatever, but I don't know why.
I didn't think about that.
Because you know what made me think about it is when she when Liff said, when he wasn't drooling.
Yeah.
And it must have been a good day for him, she says. Oh, it must have been a good day for him. It made me think of Taravangian, when Taravangian has good days and bad days. And I felt like that was some kind of, you know,
a hint?
Yeah, like some kind of
that it's
like,
Mick.
Yeah, the boy blinked and looked at her. No drooling. Must be a good day for him. A grand accomplishment. And I don't know why. And then when she said he's faking, I'm like, oh, maybe he's way smarter than he's letting on.
Right.
Kind of like this Taravangian thing. So maybe there's something secret going on with this kid. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong. See, I'm the one who's way off
now
in left
you've got
field.
Me kinda,
there's going to be memes about me and my theories now.
I don't think you're way off. What I'm kind of a bit sad about is that you present a plausible little argument for Mick here, which of course is deteriorating my hopes for this Hauka thing. So now I'm like, oh man, we're gonna.
I still want it to be Hauka. I still want Hauka being involved.
Because I've already sort of dreamed up this Hauka thing, but now you've got me onto Mick. Okay, all right. We get to remember ours. A short time later, the stump calls playtime over, and she herds the kids back into the orphanage for naps. Mistress, Wendell says, have you decided what we're going to do? Decide? Why did she have to decide? That's another one of my titles, I think, for this chapter. Decide.
Yeah. Yeah. Before right? we move on, I just want to point out again that Lyft yet again talks about how weird the Kremlings are.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
We don't have to dwell on it too much.
Strange Kremlings here. No, you're right, because I actually did underline it in this... reading. I just didn't address it. She notices how strange the Kremlings are here. Not like the ones she was used to at all. Weird how you could forget you were in a different country until you saw the Kremlings.
Yeah, so it's something that keeps coming up in these books, and I just...
It does.
I'm trying to clock it a little bit, like, you know...
Do you... can I ask if you have... any more information on that?
I think that there's, it seems purposeful. And so I think
it's come up several times.
Yeah, it's come up a few times. And so it's something that feels either thematic and like what she says, you don't really know where you are until you see the Kremlings. And that's like a guidepost on where you could be. And I don't know if that's going to be important later on in the series or what, but it's something that stuck out to me again, so.
Have you decided where we're going? Decide? Why'd she have to decide? She usually just did things. She'd taken challenges as they'd arisen, gone places for no reason other than that she hadn't seen them before. The old people who had been watching the children slowly rose like ancient trees releasing their branches after a storm. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
One of them trailed off. Sorry, one by one they trailed off until only one of them remained, wearing a black shikwa and a gray mustache. Hey, Liv calls out to him. You still creepy, old man? I am the man I was made to be. This is Liv. This is so Liv. Or sorry, not Liv. This is Wit. Or is it my weird prediction of, is it Shallan being Wit?
What would she be doing all the way in Tashik?
I don't know.
But
I think it's Wit.
I think it's Wit, man.
he's bringing, it's funny how wit is like there for so many of these characters, just like the wind is.
Right. He is, right? He was at Middlefest for Shallan. He was there with Kaladin when he told him the Wandercell story. There's something to this. Now, this man has not told a story yet. But if at some point in this book he tells a story.
If he does, that's slam
dunk.
That's it.
Yeah. Fuck that. Yeah, it's wit.
Yeah, yeah. That's academic. Okay. Yeah. I am the man I was made to be, Lift grunts, climbing from her spot and strolls over to him. Some of the kids from before had left their pebbles with painted colors. She kicked some of them. How do you know what to do? About what, little one? About everything, Lift says. Who tells you how to decide what to do with your time? Was it your parents who showed you? What's the secret? The secret to what? To being human. That, the man says, chuckling, I don't think I know. At least not better than you do.
Ah, that's a line right there.
Not human.
Yeah, that's a line right there.
I don't. Yeah, he's not human.
Right. So, like,
I know.
I don't know.
What does that mean?
This one line either reinforces my idea that it's wit or does away with my idea that it's wit. Ooh. Because we don't even really know what
reinforces what, because you know wit is something other.
No, this is my point is that we don't know. Listen, we don't know really what or who wit is. We don't.
No.
He seems
I know
to,
that I don't, but you might know.
We do know stories of him having traveled. Remember the rock told the story of a man coming out of the peaks, the Hornader peaks, and there's like a travel nexus there. His gods say that there's a travel nexus there from one world to another, and this man who was described exactly as Wit came out.
Came out of it, yeah.
And then people in the Ishik interlude who didn't look like of this, like the these lands, were looking for a man named Hoid. There's so much mystery surrounding Wit Hoid that, like I said, this line either reinforces that this is Wit or completely debunks that this is Wit, because we don't know anything about Wit. He could just be a regular dude who ends up at the right place at the right time, or he could be something otherworldly that we don't even realize.
To being human, Lift says. I don't think I know. At least not better than you. Lift looks up towards the sky. It is strange, the man says. People get such a small amount of time. So many I've known say it. As soon as you feel you're getting a handle on things, the day is done, the night falls, and the light goes out. Lift looks up at him. Yep, you're still creepy. She says to him, I guess when you're old and stuff, you get to thinking about being dead. Kind of like when a fellow's got a piss, he starts thinking about finding a convenient alleyway. The man chuckles.
Yeah.
Your life may pass, but the organism that is the city will continue, little nose. I'm not a nose, Lift says. I was being cheeky. Nose, cheek, both are on the face. Lift rolls her eyes. That's not what I meant either. What are you then? An ear, perhaps? Dunno, maybe. No, not yet. But close. Right, Lift says. And what are you? Oh, I change moment by moment. One moment I am the eyes that inspect so many people in this city. Another moment, I am the mouth to speak the words of philosophy, and they spread like a disease. And so at times, I am the disease. Most diseases live. Did you know that? So this is really creepy.
Fuck off. This is wit. Come on. Right?
Well, it's wit, but also, dude, this is really creepy. He's like a disease?
Yeah. Well, look.
He's kind of saying,
this is wit, like, he is a disease. He tells you a story. That story infects your brain, and then you end up using it later. Fleet kept running. Like, there's...
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, I'm taking it to be a little more creepy, and I'm on really loose ground with wit right now because of this. As soon as Mr. Sanderson uses the word disease here, and so at times I am the disease, I can't help but extend that to, is wit more like a plague on this world? Like,
He did say that to Dalinar that he would destroy the world if he had to get what he wanted. But he's also helped out all of our major characters and been a friend to them. So I don't know.
I know. It's complicated.
He's amazing.
I kind of want Wit to be this, like, you know, strange, aloof character who's, you know, almost akin to, you know, a Gandalf meets a bard meets a vampire kind of a personality. I live forever. I know much. I speak in riddles.
He's Lestat.
He's Lestat. Like, because why not? I speak in riddles because speaking ordinarily is no fun.
Right.
So all of his eccentricities come out. But that doesn't mean that he's good.
Right.
So, anyways, he says, another moment I am the mouth to speak the words of philosophy. I am the disease most diseases live. Did you know that? You're not really talking about what you're talking about, are you? Ooh, that's pretty smart from her.
That description is literally Wit. You're not talking about what you're talking about.
Right. I love it. She calls him totally out.
Yeah.
He says, I believe that I am. Great, she says. Of all the people she'd chosen to ask about how to be a responsible adult, she's picked the one with vegetable soup in place of brains. She turned to go.
I love vegetable
again,
soup.
Again, like cold socks, vegetable soup is a great title for this.
It really
chapter.
Is. Yeah.
Cold
right.
socks, vegetable you're soup. Right. Come on. What will you make for this city, child? The man asks. That is part of my question. Do you choose, or are you simply molded by the greater good? And are you, as a city, a district of grand palaces? Or are you a slum unto yourself? Lif says, if you could see inside me, you wouldn't say things like that. Because, he asks, because at least slums know what they was built for. She turns and joins the flow of people on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, what a great ending.
Yeah, it's good. What a great chapter. It's awesome.
The purpose, like, that's got to be my highlight right there. Like, I mean, he asks, are you a district of grand palaces or are you a slum?
Mm-hmm.
And if you could see inside of me, you wouldn't say things like that. Because at least slums know what they were built for.
Yeah.
Palaces? Opulence?
Yeah, don't know what they're built for.
What's that built for?
Right. Yeah, it's so great.
Dude.
It's way amazing. Deeper than, you know, the so chaos, good. The running, the stealing pancakes. We're all having fun here. Ah, you're sneaking in some philosophy and some deep meaning and you're making me even think about myself as I'm reading the book.
Right.
There you are, Mr. Sanderson.
There you are, Mr. Sanderson. Yeah. There you are, Wit.
What's your highlight here, bro?
Oh, I don't know. There's a few. The ending here, I think, is really good. If you knew me, you wouldn't say that. At least slums know what they were built for.
It's a good line.
That's a tough one to beat for me for this. And also when she's thinking earlier about, you know, decide, like, why do I have to decide? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then what she was saying earlier, but how do they know how to be?
Mm-hmm.
Those are good moments.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What about yours?
I mean, we kind of talked about it at nauseam earlier about how I related it to my own life, but so I won't say that one. But clearly is a highlight for me. But I would like to say I really loved how the kids from the orphanage found pleasure in playing in this amphitheater, literally not a playground, but they were able to take this unconventional playground area and turn it into fun. And I really like that. I think there's a really nice theme or something there, a metaphor there. So I really like that too.
Yeah. Well, they don't. That's the thing. You know, kids need dirt and stones and rock to play with.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool.
Although, occasionally when that mud and stick and stone is rolled up together, it eventually turns into a Nintendo.
It does. Oh, wow, a Nintendo, yeah.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
I think it's a good time to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor.
In an age of storms and war, the Knights Radiant must stand again to protect, to seek justice, to speak the truth, to unite, and to always take the next step. Introducing the unforgettable characters of the Stormlight Archive, as you've never seen them before. Premium miniatures and painted figurines, all crafted by top sculptors in collaboration with Brandon Sanderson. The time has come to speak again the ancient oaths. Life before death, strength before weakness, journey before destination. The Stormlight Archive Premium Miniatures. Now on Kickstarter.
So, Sean just showed me the Kaladin painted figure in the Carapace armor, and it looks amazing. Wow. Right? Unbelievable, right?
Yeah. The detail, dude, on the shield is incredible.
The shield, it's amazing. It's really great.
It's a little insensitive, to be honest, to the listeners. Like,
yeah, it's kind of covered with them.
Body parts?
But it's amazing. But I love it.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's so awesome. So if you are interested in these miniatures, head to the Kickstarter homepage and search for Stormlight Premium Miniatures. You can find the URL in the show notes, actually. You can just go there and find them there.
Sign up before the campaign ends on October the 13th. And if you would, please do us a big favor and mention that the StormPod sent you in the comments section of the Kickstarter, which will help us out tremendously.
Man, I can't wait to get myself my hands on those minis.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's just too good.
Yeah.
Too good.
It's so good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Starts off, "I don't think you understand how this is supposed to work," Wendell says. "Mistress, you don't seem interested in evolving our relationship." She shrugs. Wendell says, "There are words. That's what we call them, at least. They're more ideas, living ideas with power. You have to say them into your soul. Let me into your soul. You heard those skybreakers, right? They're looking to take the next step in their training. That's when you know they get a shard blade." He smiled at her, the expression appearing in successive patterns of his growing vines along the wall. Each image of the smile was slightly different, grown one after another beside her, like 100 paintings. They made a smile, and yet none of them was the smile. It was somehow all of them together.
Isn't
I
that
love this.
Awesome?
Awesome.
It's like smile,
so
smile,
great.
Smile. It's like I know. A smile split up into 10 different segments all in a row.
Yeah.
Like
what I imagine is that from the POV camera, if you will, panning around that from all the other angles, it looks like, you know, bits of it comprised, and then when you have it coalesce or you turn around in front, then you see the smile.
I think of it like when you take a pad of paper and you draw a little drawing. It's like animation, and you just flip them. It's like if you could flip all of his faces, you would see the smile.
Yeah.
You know what
you
I mean?
You'd see the smile. Yeah.
I really love this thing when he's talking about the words and the ideas and the living ideas with power.
Living ideas.
Yeah.
See, what if wit is something like that? Like, what if he's an idea or an emotion rather than, you know, a corporeal entity or, you know, like
I wouldn't put it past Sanderson to do something like that, because I mean it's pretty.
No, I wouldn't either. Know. He could be whimsy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
I thought it was funny here. He says, "You have to let them into your soul. You have to let me into your soul."
Me.
And the next line for you would have been, "You have to let me into your stomach," meaning you have to eat me.
You watch. I'm going to make you eat those words.
Just like you're going to make Liv eat Wendell. No, she's not going to eat
him. She's going to eat him. She's going to gobble him up.
Part of me kind of hopes it happens now so that I could be wrong.
I kind of want it.
Yeah, yeah. But,
no, you're right. It's ridiculous. But I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny how Wendell was like, no, you can't eat me. That's not the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out, no, that is actually the thing to do.
He's totally trying to push her or direct her into a place here where she can turn him into a shard blade, even though he doesn't want that.
No, he doesn't really want it, but he does seem to want her lift to progress, to be able to progress and stand up to what's coming.
Like, and he knows she's going to need him in order to be able to become. He needs her to be a shard bearer in order to even have a fighting chance against these people. Mm-hmm. So, this is awesome.
He smiles at her. So, we've done the smile. There's only one thing I know how to do, Lyft says, and that's steal Darkness's lunch, like I came to do in the first place. And didn't we do that already? Windle asks. Not his food, his lunch. Ah, Windle says, the person he's planning to execute. We're going to snatch them away from him. Love this.
Yeah.
This, again, is Lyft getting to know, Windle getting to know Lyft that, you know, she says that she's not going to accomplish something. Oh, I'm just going to do this. But really, it is part and parcel with doing good works.
Right.
Like, she is playing her game her way. Mm-hmm. And Windle now is satisfied. We are going to get this person.
Okay. Right. And he knows and that he can, board. Like, kind of translate what she means. When she says lunch, she doesn't even mean food. She means something that's important to him. Like, what's important to her is lunch. What's important to Darkness right now is finding this surge grinder. So we're going to steal his lunch.
Lyft strolls along the side street and ends up passing into a garden, a bowl-like depression. There are many vines coating the leeward side here, but Sanderson here in the language, I love it. He says, but they slowly gave way to brittles on the other side, shaped like flat plates for protection, but with planty stems that crept out. Planty stems? I didn't realize that things could be planty.
They're very planty. They're a planty.
That's very plant.
Oh, you have what a garden! You have one a planty.
Oh, your hair, it looks like very planty. I don't know. It stuck with me for some reason, referring to something as being planty. I love it. Windle sniffs, crossing to the ground beside her. Barely any cultivation, he says, looking at the garden. Why, this is no garden. Whoever maintains this should be reprimanded. I like it, Lyft says, and I love that she says that.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unkempt garden, you know, wild, growing whatever way it wants.
Natural.
And that's the thing about horticulture is that it's the cultivation that's the part of it where, you know, we as persons get involved and make it something other than what it would have been on its own.
Right.
Right. So, but I like the fact that she likes it on its own. And there are life spren bobbing around her fingertips at this.
I think the reason why she likes it is because it's a metaphor for her, too. When she's at the palace, she is who she is. She is an unkept garden. And the viziers and the people in Azir want to prune her and cultivate her into something else different that she is.
And but she doesn't want
that. She wants to be the unkept garden. Yeah.
That's it. She wants to be the unkempt garden.
Yeah.
She wants to be natural. And also, when you start trimming a garden, again, there's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you trim the hedge, if you trim the boxwood square, well, then when it starts to grow again and change its shape, we expect you to be square, so you have to continue. And she's like, no, I don't want that.
I want to be able to grow
however I want to grow.
Yeah.
That's right. The garden was crowded with people, though. People coming and going. She hadn't seen many beggars, though, in the city, and she thinks here likely there were all kinds of rules and regulations about how and when you could do it. And that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, with all the paperwork there is to do, it's kind of like, well, it also applies to, you know, people that are, you know, disadvantaged and might have to beg or, you know, but there are rules to it.
Right. And we know
interesting approach.
Yeah, it's smart. And we know that from the guard post that Nikawa or whatever, the guard post leader said, well, we're going to tax this guy triple and then all that excess will go to the poor. So they have, you know, and he said, according to regulation, blah, 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 it'll go to the poor. So they have ways of already infusing money into those places without having to have begging, which is, you know, interesting.
It's interesting as long as the trickle down functions.
Actually works.
Normally doesn't.
Yeah.
People here in Azir and Tashik, they love to write stuff down. She says, hands on her hips again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, most certainly, Windle says. Yes, mistress. These, at least, are fruit vines. I suppose that is better. It's not completely haphazard, as he's continuing to look at the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Lyft says, and they love information. They love trading it with one another, right? Most certainly. That is a distinguishing factor of their cultural identity. As your tutors said in the palace, you weren't there. I went to listen in your place. What people write can be important, at least to them, Lyft says. But what would they do with it all when they're done with it? Would they throw it out and burn it? Throw it out? Mother's vines. No, no, no. You can't just go throwing things out. They might be useful later on. If it were me, I'd find someplace safe for them and keep them pristine in case I needed them. I like this from Wendell because what this speaks to me is he's into reusing, like recycling, compost, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't want to throw it out. He wants to keep it, reuse it, protect it, you know, nurture it. I don't know. I just like this little bit from
him. Yeah, it's awesome.
Lyft nods, folding her arms. They'd have his same attitude, she says. This city, with everyone writing notes and rules, offering to sell everyone else ideas all the time, in some ways, this place was like a whole city of Wendells. And there you get another great title.
City of Wendells, yes.
Wow.
That's the chapter title for this, for sure.
That's a fun title.
Yeah.
Darkness had told his hunters to find someone who was doing strange stuff. And in this city, they wrote down what kids had for breakfast. So this is really cool, is that she's speaking to Wendell, asking some questions, but she's figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
She's thinking now, well, if they write everything down, well, then that's where I need to go.
Right.
Lyft scampers through the garden, brushing vines with her toes and causing them to writhe away. She hops up onto a bench beside a likely target. An older woman in a brown chiqua, middle-aged face, wearing makeup and displaying hints of styled hair. The woman wrinkled her nose immediately when Lyft got nearer. "Shoo," says the woman. "I've no money for you. Shoo, go away." And I think it's, yeah, so the woman wrinkles her nose because she's smelling Lyft.
Yeah.
And I guess Lyft had taken a bath back a week or so in his ear, and it had had soap and everything.
Yeah, and it was a real bath.
It was a real bath with soap. Like,
yeah.
This is funny.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, she's unkempt, unbathed,
yeah,
largely. Just, I am who I am.
Yeah.
Shoo, says the woman. You don't want money. Lyft says, I've got a deal to make for information. I want nothing from you, says the woman. I can give you nothing, Lyft says. I'm good at that. I'll go away and give you nothing. You just got to answer a question for me. You are disobeying beggar regulations, the woman snaps. I ain't begging, I'm trading. Fine. What do you want to know? Is there a place in this city where people stuff all the things they wrote down to keep them safe? The woman frowned and raised her hand, pointing along a street toward a mound-like bunker. It was big enough to tower over the rest of the stuff around it, peeking up above the top of the trenches. You mean like the Grand Indicium? You mean like the Grand Indicium, the woman asks. Lyft blinks, then cocks her head. The woman took the opportunity at this point to flee and part the garden. Has that always been there? Lyft asks. Yes, Wendell says. Of course it has. Really? Lyft scratches her head. Huh. Again, a delightful.
Yeah.
I love this character.
Yeah.
You know, has that always
awesome.
Been there? This giant mound in the center of the thing?
This
like
increasingly huge building.
Oblivious.
That, yeah.
Like,
has clearly been there.
And you know what? I half don't know how to take her. If she actually didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Or if she did, like,
if she did notice it and thought it wasn't unimportant. Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know. It's just darling.
It's really funny.
Highlight for me. I don't know. Living ideas.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wendell's thing. Oh, it might be Mr. Sanderson calling things planty.
Yeah.
With some planty stems. Oh, I think ultimately is, I like this, what we were saying earlier about her
liking
being
her
being unkempt,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
I had written something else for my highlight. for this. I had written the the words of power, that moment with Windle saying that.
Yeah.
And I'm changing it now to this whole unkept garden idea.
Yeah.
I like it too. when we're recording and we've kind of like we discover something as we're recording, like, and that's kind of one of those moments where, you know, it just kind of came naturally. I like that a lot. City of Windles is the title, though, right?
City of Windles. So, yes, I think so. And the other thing I loved was when Windle swears his cuss words, which is threw it out, mother's vines, like mother's vines.
Yeah,
that's funny too.
Yeah, it is really like, mother's vines is good too. That, yeah,
that's a good title. But I think City of Windles is pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah, I like that a lot.
All right, one more chapter to cover here. This is chapter 12.
Another small one here.
Yeah, one more little chapter. Windle's vines wove up the side of an alleyway. Lift hauled herself up over the top of the edge onto a field where farmers were watching the sky and grumbled. The seasons had gone insane. It was supposed to be raining constantly, a bad time to plant as the water would wash away the seed paste. So seed paste, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yet it hadn't rained for days. No storms, no water. Lift walked along, passing the farmers. As she passed, she tried to listen, to hear. I really like this. This is my first little highlight, that she's paying attention to them. I will listen to them. I will remember them, these farmers. Mm-hmm. This was supposed to be a time for these farmers of the year where they didn't have to work. Sure, they planted some treb to grow in the cracks as it could survive flooding, but they weren't supposed to have to plant the lavis or the talu or the clema. Much more labor-intensive, but also more profitable, crops to cultivate. Yet here they were, these farmers. But what if it rained tomorrow and washed away all their effort? What if it never rained again? The city cisterns, which were glutted from water from the weeks of the weeping, could not last forever. They were worried, and she could see fear spread, shaped like globs of purple. I like this little bit that she's taking in the concerns of others. These farmers have worried faces. She's connecting with them. She knows what they're worried about. And I also, I'm wondering if the color purple might come up here and there that might be associated with fear.
Maybe. We know that it's associated with Prince. Shout out back to the Way of Kings time.
And Prince be brave. So he was no fearful. Love me some Prince. As a counterpoint, Lifespren broke off from the growing polyps and bobbed over to Lift, a swirling green glowing dust. Ahead of her, though, was the grand Indicium, rose like the head of a bald man, seen peeking above the back of a chair he was sitting in. Again, I can't, you know. She's constantly viewing the world like, oh, this is some old biddy thing, like old person thing. I got to deal with this big mound. Baldy, got it.
Yeah.
You know, just hilarious.
It's really funny. Her view of the world is definitely funny.
Her view of the world. She sees a big mounded building. Yeah, bald head.
Yeah.
It's the vulture.
Before we move on, though, I want to say that the lack of rain, which seems to be worrying these farmers, could be because things are changing. We know the Everstorm, and then the Stormfather created a storm to crash into the Everstorm. And so what traditional weather patterns may not be a factor anymore. The storm wardens and all that stuff might have to start re-examining when rain is supposed to come and when it's not. So,
right.
Yeah, something to think
about. Well, she did say that everything is changing.
Right, exactly.
Everything in the city revolved around this central point. The round bunker wasn't much to look at, but it sure did seem secure from the storms. Yes, the land does slope away from this central point, Window notes. This focus had to be the highest point of the city anyway, and I guess they figured they'd just accept that and make the central knob into a fortress. A fortress for books. Not a bad title, Fortress for Books.
Yep.
People could be so strange. Below, crowds of people, most of them Tashiki, flowed in and out of the building, which had numerous screw-like sloped walkways. lift settled down on the edge of the wall, her feet hanging over. Again, I just love this image. Feet hanging over. Yeah. It's like a little kid mm-hmm. hanging out.
It's very Miss Marvel. Looks like
very Miss Marvel. What she says here kind of looks like the tip of some guy's dangly bits. Like some fella had such a short sword, and everyone felt so sorry for him. They said, "Hey, we'll make a huge statue to it." And even though it's tiny, it'll look real big. Oh my God, this is so funny.
Yeah,
she's hilarious. Wendell sighs at this. Oh gosh. Well, that wasn't crude. Lift noted. That was being poetic. Old Whitehair said you can't be crass so long as you're talking about art. Then you're being elegant. That's why it's okay to hang pictures of naked ladies in a palace.
Mm-hmm.
This is funny.
Yeah.
But who's Old Whitehair?
I think it's the old man with the shikwa.
The old man with the shikwa?
I think so.
Old Whitehair said you can't be crass as long as you're talking about art.
Who else talks about art constantly?
Yeah, I know. This is him, dude.
It's fucking him, bro.
It is him.
Okay.
It has to be. That's funny. That's why it's okay to hang pictures of naked ladies in a palace. That's funny. Mm-hmm. Mistress, wasn't this the man who got himself intentionally swallowed by a Maribethian great shell?
Oh, no, yep. Never mind. So Old Whitehair is
right.
This guy from her past.
Right. That's. Yeah.
But I still think it could have been Wit.
In her past, again?
Yes. Because whenever I read this story of a man who jumped into the mouth of a gray shell and then winked at her on her way way in, I'm like, that's fucking Wit too.
Is he? So she says, yep, crazy as a box of drunk minks, that one. I miss him. She liked to pretend he hadn't actually gotten eaten. He'd winked at her as he jumped into the great shell's gaping maw, shocking the crowd.
That's Wit, right?
I don't know.
Old Whitehair,
yeah.
Yeah. Said you can't be crass as long as you're talking about art.
Art.
That's Wit.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm Wit obsessed and I'm seeing Wit everywhere now, but right?
Well, it doesn't necessarily strain credulity.
Right.
So, you know, I think that there is a reasonable chance that could be true. Wendell piled around on himself, forming a face of eyes. Mistress, what's our plan? Plan? He sighs. We need to get into that building. Are you just going to do whatever strikes you? Obviously. Again, the dialogue here,
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to be honest with you, that's a little bit Indiana Jones to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. I'm just making this up as I go. You know, like,
she totally is.
She's like,
she's young Indy. She's the real young Indy.
She's the real young Indy. Might I offer some suggestions? Long as it doesn't involve sucking someone's soul, Voidbringer. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love she always returns it back to calling him a Voidbringer.
Yeah.
I think she calls him that. Well, first of all, I hope that the Spren are not Voidbringers. I hope
right.
that
you hope
is
that
not
she's
the
not
case.
Actually right.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that she's not actually
yeah.
right. But so barring that, what I hope is that she's just doing it to annoy him.
I think, yeah, I think she's trolling him.
Yeah. Which is funny.
Yeah.
Look, mistress, that building is an archive. Knowing what I do of this region, the rooms in there will be filled with laws, records, and reports. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them. Yeah, she said, making a fist. Among all that, they'll have written down strange stuff for sure. And how precisely are we going to find the specific information we want? Easy. You're going to read it. Read it? Yep. We'll get in there and you'll read their books and stuff, and then we'll decide where strange events were. That will lead us to Darkness's Lunch. Read it all? Yep. Do you have any idea how much information is likely held in that place? There will be hundreds of thousands of reports and ledgers, and to state it implicitly, yes, that's a number more than 10, so you can't count to it. I'm not an idiot, she snaps. I got toes, too.
So she can count to 20.
Yeah, she can count to 20. It's still... I got toes, too. I love it. It's still far more than I can read. I can't sift through all of that information for you. It's impossible. Not going to happen. She eyes him. All right. Maybe I can get you one soul. Perhaps a tax collector, except they ain't human. Would they work, or would you need, like, three of them to make up one normal person's soul? So there is a little dig on tax collection.
Yeah.
Mr. Sanderson, slip that one in.
Hello. Yeah.
Mistress, I'm not bargaining. Come on, everyone knows Voidbringer's like a good deal. Does it have to be someone important, or can it be some dumb guy nobody likes? So this is interesting. Everyone knows Voidbringers like a good deal.
It's like she's saying that Voidbringers are like the Fae or something. You know, you don't. You know, they say don't make a deal with the Fae creatures because you know. Yeah, like it's very strange.
I was trying to read into that a little bit. Like what characters make deals?
Right.
In this series so far.
Hmm.
Do we have any evidence that might suggest that? I was trying to think about it. I'm like, well, Wit kind of strikes these little...
Risen and her Bapsk, that's all they do, right, is make deals. The people from...
Oh, yeah, the bargaining, the...
People from Thalen are like the merchant class. They're like the merchants of this world, right?
No, I'm not barking up that tree for Voidbringers. No. Okay. I don't eat souls, Windel exclaims. I'm not trying to haggle with you. I'm stating facts. I can't read all the information in the archive. Why can't you just see that? Oh, calm your tentacles, Lyft says. I like that.
No tentacles. Tentacles. But a Voidbringer might have tentacles. Oh, like if they were like a great old one type thing, like a...
Calm your tentacles. I wonder if that's going to come up.
Like it's like she's read some like...
knows something. I don't know. What's her powers again?
Abrasion and
Abrasion
and the healing one.
What's the other?
The growth and plant growth,
regeneration,
growth and regeneration. Yeah, or regrowth.
Okay.
I think she's quoting some like, you know, I don't know, some Lovecraftian style
story.
Well,
this is
it.
I'm thinking noodly appendages. I'm thinking Cthulhu. I'm thinking the black tentacles of D&D.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, those creepy things in The Matrix.
Yeah.
I hear you. Can't help you, but here, considering how much you whine. Behind, the farmers were asking whose daughter she was and why she wasn't running them water like kids were supposed to do. Lyft scrunched up her face, thinking, can't wait until night and sneak in. Darkness wants the poor person killed by then. Besides, I bet those scribes work nights.
Mm-hmm.
They feed off ink. Ooh, they feed off ink. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Why sleep when you could be writing up some new law about how many fingers people can use to hold a spoon? So there she is insulting their efforts too. So
yeah,
it's pretty interesting. Like the sort of childlike way to look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
They know their stuff though, says Windel. They sell it all over the place. The viziers were always writing to them to get some answer to something. Mostly news around the world. She grinned and then looked and stood up. You're right. We got to do this differently. Yes, indeed. We gotta be smart about it. Devious. We gotta think like a Voidbringer. I didn't say, stop complaining, Lyft says. I'm gonna go steal some important looking clothes.
Mm-hmm. Are they gonna do the old dress up as the people and go in there? Like, how is she ever gonna find any information in here? Like, he's got a point that there's so much information.
You know what?
You're gonna just read it all.
Here's my guess. My guess is, she's getting clothes. She's told him that he has to go in there and read everything.
Yeah.
It's probably not part of her plan at all.
Yeah.
Windel, once again, so she's just like psyching him out or something. Like telling
him.
She
just keeps him in the dark.
You
got to
go in there. Yeah. Like, you got to go in there. You got to read everything. Oh, that's impossible. And he goes on and on about it and prattles. And she's like, yeah, whatever. She's listening to
him. I'm just giving
whine.
You a fake mission here.
She has no idea. She has no intention of getting him to read everything. Like, that's, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Devious, though, at the end here, we got to be mm-hmm. Not a bad title here.
Yeah, devious. Yeah, it's not bad.
And I think it also sums up our mystery guest as well that keeps appearing. This man who winks at her before jumping into a Maribethian great shell.
Old white hair.
Devious old white hair. That's another great title as well.
Mm-hmm. It's Wit. Fuck off. It's Wit. Come on.
Both times.
It's Wit. It's got
to
be.
Is that all we're recovering today? It is.
Yeah, this is it. This is the last chapter.
That's it. Aw.
So what's your highlight for this chapter?
I'm not bargaining. I like their banter a lot. In this back and forth.
My highlight is old white hair said you can't be crass so long as you're talking about art.
Yeah.
I love that line, and that's I also cool. am 100% sure that it's Wit. It makes sense that he was there in her life earlier, too, because he was there earlier in Shallan's life when she was younger, and now he's there, too. So maybe Wit's like Sam Beckett from Quantum Leap. He just keeps coming in and out of people's lives. And
yeah. I'm going to pick her the highlight where she notices the farmers.
Yeah, I like that too.
And and she's listening to them, noticing them. And there's one thing that's interesting that was in the text that we didn't really cover. They put down seed paste, and then it mentions that you then get a harvest, which you then turn back into paste.
Right.
I don't know. I just thought that was kind of
interesting. The thing too that they said people who eat sometimes forget where that food comes from. And so by her paying attention to the farmers, she is remembering those who sometimes get forgotten.
Yep.
So I know that I'm maybe reading into that statement a little too much, but I'm seeing it everywhere in the story now. So
what, those who have
been forgotten. Yeah. To remember those who have been forgotten. Yeah. I can't help but see it everywhere now. So it's like seeing the wind.
Amazing.
Right. It's like seeing the wind. You can't help but see it when you see it.
That's right.
Yeah. So let's go to the info dump. It's a very short info dump again. In this last chapter, they talked about the importance of information in this area. And I just wanted to give a shout out to our buddy Buzzkill Joe. If information is important, Buzzkill Joe is the emperor. So thanks for all the hard work, Joe. Unfortunately, Joe didn't do any work on this info dump. And so it's going to be half-assed. Laughter spren, little silver fish that zip through the air this way and that, danced in the air up to 10 feet high, and they were a school of them, which really, really must look amazing. Like the visuals, right?
Yeah,
I would love if this was an animation, but in that Spirited Away, Princess Mononoke style, like that. Yeah. That's a Studio Ghibli.
Dragon Prince.
It would be. I'm talking more Studio Ghibli style. That's how I envision it when I close my eyes. It's just be amazing. The Grand Insidium, a place of knowledge in Yadaa, where everything that's written down, everything gets kept secret. It's clearly a really huge building that Lift didn't see. I don't know how she didn't see it, but it's pretty funny. and then Fear Spren, globs of purple goo. There was probably more info in here than I wrote down, but I was enjoying reading the chapter so much that I sort of forgot to keep notes on the info dump. Yeah. So it's just showing you how much I'm really enjoying this book. let's talk about the Patreon team. I've been avoiding reading the list of patron members because we're at a part in the early part of the month here where some people's thing has gone into decline. So they've either, had new credit cards happen and they haven't switched things over yet. So there's names that might end up getting left out. But I'm just going to read the list anyways because I really like doing it. And I think that people really like hearing their names at the end of the show. So I want to say thanks to Asta, Waterman85, Daniel Aldridge, Jay Sandusky, Joseph Sherry, Jacqueline de la Roca. Oh, my God.
Whew.
You, that is an awesome name, Jacqueline. That is amazing. John Kurth, Kunal Chaudhry, Automatic Bear, Ryan Shea, Amigo Cat, Scorpio 245, Sandra G, Stephen Kiula, I hope I said that right, Shanidi, I said it wrong. He even sent me a message to say his name properly, and I said it wrong. James Wallace, Michael Colling, Grant Hoffmeister, Yerian, Chloe Lewis, Kyle Wilson, Tony Hernandez, Jesus Rocho, Sarah Marshall, Dark Moon Nightness, Milan Radnovich, Genevieve Blanc, Zachary Lindo, Brian Taylor, Dana Gustafson, Jesse Fay, Cannoli, Jaden Guerra, Ryan Phillips, Savoka Art, Sarah677, Sarah Slagle, C. Carr, Tom Gonzalez, Mark Pinto, Jordo, Maria Verum, Lawrence Bradley, Cody Logan, Jonathan Whittington, Tommy Turpin, Itzizer, Julia Pebble? How to say it? I go again. Like little, but Julia Pepple. Pepple? Justin Elliott, Laura, Kevin Friday, Riley Donlin, Chris Wally, Omni Orcus, Alec Guerin, James Johnson, Andrew Woods, James M., Valkov Marin, James Pryor, Chad Kirkman, Christopher Bagley, Megan Lloyd, Richard Fetherson, Ilya Serdin, Daniel Lee, Elvira, Denver Rose, David Clamage, Andrew S., Pac-Man in Idaho, Jason Stock, Ashlyn Lee, Anna P., Pat Bevins, Thomas Kovar, Matthew Eaton, Cosette, James Reed, Jean-Marc David, Steph Baum, Alex Trant, Joey Willen, Christopher Jack, Ratman, P. Flume, Brandon Comer, Jasper, Silver Lumos, Joshua, Nisala, Ryan, Josh, Alexander, Janzi, Wick, Joseph Mingoya, Daniel Whitten, Werewolf Will, John M., Jake DeFeo, Robert Goebel, My Mom Sue, Ari Zhu, Bruce Rogers, Joel Hayes, Don Chalice, Mr. Murasami, Christian Pappy, no, Jack's wife, Linda, and always at the end, our best friend, Mike. So thank you very much for everyone who is part of the Patreon team. That is a huge list, dude.
That's a big list. And you had quite the momentum going out the end there. I was like, blah-blam, blah-blam, blah-blam.
I do like speeding it up at the end. I feel like it's like a crescendo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A crescendo of awesome names.
You got to give this more awesomeness into the
Maybe
into,
I should. Maybe I should get you to write like a little like a...
Oh, a ditty dun, for
dun,
the name?
Dun,
yeah.
Dun, kind of like a dun, dun, like one of those, like, yeah, maybe I'll get you to write something for it.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm serious. Yeah. Let's do it.
So thank you, everyone, for being part of the Patreon team. It's so amazing. We love you very much. It's thank you so much for the support. If you want to be part of the Patreon team, you can go to patreon.com/heroesof, and there's all kinds of different tiers there. You can get part of the Discord server, which is really where all the fun happens. So thank you very much for all that. If you want to reach out to us, you can do so at heroesofcathra@gmail.com. You can reach out on Twitter at heroesofone. Hit us up on Instagram at the Storm Pod, or join either the Facebook group, the Storm Pod, or the subreddit, the Storm Pod. There's all kinds of different ways to get a hold of us, and I always respond. So if you want to reach out and you got comments, or you have something to say, or you have a question, I always, always respond. Jack, unfortunately, is not allowed to respond because of spoilers, but I will respond in his absence. So anyways, everyone, thank you very much for listening. The next chapters we are going to be doing are chapters 13, 14, and 15. So those are going to be some pretty exciting ones, I believe. And then, we have a couple of surprises coming. So anyways, thank you very much for listening. We love you very much. Till next time.
Take care, everybody.
The Storm Pod is brought to you by Heroes of. Music and theme song by Jack Forrest Productions. Additional music by Jason Moray. Produced by our wonderful Patreon team and the Heroes of Akathra.